So I'll let the poster presenters introduce themselves once their AV is.
So hello, everyone. I'm Dennis Alp, and I'm going to say a few words about hard X-ray emission and hard X-rays and gamma rays from core collapse supernovae. And just to be clear, the emission I'm talking about now is the small fraction of radioactive photons that managed to escape the ejecta at early times. And what we have done is that we have taken 3D neutrino-driven explosion models from the Garching group and used those to compute this high-energy component. And by comparing these predictions with observations, we're able to put constraints on the progenitor models, test the explosion mechanism, and make predictions for future observations. And if you want to know more, you could come and have a look at my poster, poster 3.1. Thanks.
Yeah. Good afternoon. My name is Florian. I'm from Heidelberg, Germany. And my poster is on type 1x supernovae. We already heard a lot about it today and also yesterday. But to date, there's still no suite of hydrodynamical simulations which focuses only on type 1x supernovae. And that's what we did. So since the most realistic ignition is an ignition in one single spot only, we ignite the white dwarf in a single spot and then vary the central density, the radius of the ignition kernel and the metallicity, and study all the interplay between these parameters, and then hope to reproduce some of the variety of type 1x supernovae. And anyone who's interested in this ongoing project and preliminary results is welcome at my poster 3.3.
Hello, my name is Artem Bogdan, and here I want to present my poster is about particle and cell simulation of non-relativistic perpendicular shocks for the regime which is applicable for the supernova shocks. So it's high Mach number shocks, and the physics of such shocks is defined by shock-reflected ions. So shock-reflected ions produce two types of instability in the shock transition, so Boudemann electrostatic Boudemann type instability here in the shock foot, in the shock ramp Weibull instability, which decays in the magnetic reconnection. And these both instabilities are important for the electron injection. And what we found also that actually electron injection, electrons mainly produced by magnetic reconnection and second order Fermi-like acceleration in the shock ramp. And the efficiency of different processes strongly depends on the parameters you use for the simulation, like Mach number, mass ratio, and so on. What's interesting is that magnetic field is strongly amplified in the shock downstream, and it depends on the shock Mach number. So for the, if you want to know more, just welcome to my poster. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Vladimir Domček. I'm a PhD student at the University of Amsterdam, and I work on synchrotron radiation and how does it evolve between radio and mid-infrared. So why do we do this? Well, in case of efficient acceleration, we would expect that accelerated particles are affecting the shock itself, and therefore we expect some deviation from the synchrotron power law. In fact, previous studies by Jones et al. Had already showed some indication that there might be some flattening, spectral flattening happening there. In our case, we study this using a radio, high-resolution radio and Spitzer images, from which we construct a spectral index map and look into this flattening. What we see is flattening in most part of the remnant, while in the eastern region, southeastern region, we see some steepening, or there is a difference there. So if you want to know more, please come to my poster, and see you tomorrow.
Okay, my name is Hiromasa Suzuki from University of Tokyo, Japan. What I want to study is the escape of accelerated protons from particles from SN supernova remnant shocks. And what I did is the first the systematic GV analysis, GV spectral analysis to estimate the degrees of escape of accelerated protons, and then the, also the, we conducted the X-ray analysis to on the thermal X-ray plasma to determine the plasma age, and we got a correlation this. And we found that assuming just bone diffusion, the escape is too slow to explain the measured trend, and the ion neutral collision too effectively damped the turbulence of magnetic field. So the interaction with ISM in some condition could explain the major trend. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Vladimir Zeković. I'm the PhD student from Serbia. So let's go quick through this. Two cold magnetized counterstream plasmas can excite resonant microstabilities in the region where they overlap. So we observed this in peak simulation, and in turn, these instabilities triggered the shock formation. So we had that the typical compression ratio of 4 could naturally arise as a consequence of a highly resonant microphysical process. In the second part, we want to introduce the new acceleration mechanism called micro-DSA. It is the DSA mechanism on the scales of particle shear radius. So we have the ion that is reflected from the shock, start to bounce between the upstream and the downstream instability. It can become superthermal or non-thermal, in this case upstream. And it is all governed by the magnetic structure itself. In our 3D test particle simulation runs, we don't have motional electric field. So this is not SDA mechanism, it is completely the DSA mechanism with modified escape probability. Also, these spiral-like structures we observe in the ion electron spectra are due to this mechanism. And also, the particle thermalization is completely governed by the magnetic structure itself. So if you're interested, please take a look at the poster number 419. Thank you.
Hello everyone, my name is Emanuele Greco and I'm a PhD student from Palermo. The aim of this project is to find a spectral signature which allow us to find to discriminate between pure metal and metal-rich plasma in emitting index rays. Basically, spoiler, that we found that the spectral signature is the RRC of the abundant element. In fact, we took a synthetic spectra from the Cassay jet, from the silicon-rich Cassay jet from Orlando et al. 2016, and we synthesized this X-ray spectra from this region, finding that with CCD we are not able to detect any spectral signature related to the pure metal emission, while using the microcalorimeters such as Kriegsmann Sifu, we will be able to detect to correctly recover the fit the structure of the RRC. And if you want some more information, come at the poster, which is not marked here, is 5.4. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Yonghyun Lee from Seoul National University. Recently, we obtained the near-infrared spectra of 67 ejecta knots in the northeastern jet and eastern outer region of Cassay. In the northeastern jet, we found that the knots in the central mainstream show strong sulfur and iron lines with no or little phosphorus lines, which may indicate that the jet was launched from a sulfur-rich region near the progenitor's core. In the eastern area, on the other hand, we found a dozen dense ejecta clumps emitting only iron 2 emission lines. They are located at the tip of the diffuse iron K ejecta plume in X-ray, which may suggest that there are small dense iron ejecta clumps formed during the supernova explosion by Rayleigh-Taylor instability and decoupled from the diffuse ion ejecta after encountering the reverse shock. So please visit my poster, see, let me know if you have any questions. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Maria Niclescu-Duvas. I'll try and keep this short. I'm from a PhD student at UCL. In my poster, I try and determine the dust mass in the center of the Class A remnant. I do this by comparing O3 infrared and optical line profiles. So our optical data comes from Dan Milosavljevic. I'm sure you all know him. And the infrared data comes from the ISO-LWS archives. It's pretty bad spatial resolution. As you can see, there's just 7 pointings. But I integrate all the optical spectra in these apertures. You can see aperture 1 in the center, the lines are quite different, which you don't really expect. So we attribute this to internal dust extinction, and we assume that there's roughly 0.3 solar masses of dust that's causing this difference. So if you have any kind of burning dust questions, I'll be very happy to answer them. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Soha Tori. I'm from NYU Abu Dhabi, and I reanalyzed the NuSTAR data for G21.5. It's a very popular source that's been observed by most, if not all, X-ray instruments. In the previous analysis, they do a simultaneous fit of all the spectra across all observations, and more importantly, across the two detectors, FPM-A and FPM-B. And from that fit, they conclude that a broken power law is preferred over a power law to explain the data. In our study, we actually fit the spectra, each of them separately. And what we found was that when fitting the data separately, if we're doing a power law, that the discrepancy between A and B for the photon indices and the flux, they were larger than the statistical and calibration uncertainties. And that in some cases, that a power law was already a good fit, and the more complicated broken power law wasn't necessary. And because of this, we think that there needs to be a closer analysis of the NuSTAR data to confirm the spectral break. Thank you. My poster is 6.5.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jongsu Lee from the Korea Chungnam National University. I talk about my poster shortly and briefly. These three images is from the Gaminga research, but the most of the interesting result is from this image. This white contour is epoch 3, and this orange image is epoch 7 plus epoch 8. In between the two data, difference for the 9 months, also to the main different length change, 0.5 degree. We calculated this from this result. We found this change velocity is around the 0.2 speed of light. And another extra result is this one. This one is the X-ray detected extended picture of the J1911 millisecond pulsar. This one is a third pulsar nebula associated with the millisecond pulsar. Please read it my poster, section 6.6, and then if you have any question, come to me. Thank you.
So hello, everyone. My name is Connor Omand. I'm a PhD student at the University of Tokyo, and I work on non-thermal emission from superluminous supernovae and pulsar-driven supernovae. So in this model, rapidly rotating, highly magnetized neutron star spins down inside of a supernova remnant and injects its energy into the supernova remnant, creating a superluminous supernovae. Eventually, though, the ejector should become transparent enough that this non-thermal emission can leak out. And we're looking for this emission as a test of the pulsar-driven supernova model. And so we did follow-up observations on candidates after we made predictions in VLA at 3 gigahertz and with ALMA and NOEMA at 100 and 230 gigahertz. And we found three non-detections in ALMA and 9 non-detections in VLA, but we got 1 marginal detection at 3 gigahertz. And so if you want to know how this constrains the model, come visit me at poster 6.8. Thank you, Brian.
Thank Καλησπέρα. I am Ismail Moumen, and I'm here to present OCESAR, the optical catalog for extragalactic supernova remnants. More than 40 nearby galaxies will be observed for the SIGNAL program. It's a program that aims to study each two regions. And as a part of this program, we will use this sample of nearby galaxies to create OCESAR, the optical catalog of extragalactic supernova remnants. And yesterday, I presented one example of these galaxies, NGC 3344. So we can see some example of spectra and how we identify supernova remnants. Confirmation of supernova remnants will be done using two diagnostic tools, Sabadan plot and BPT diagrams. And here I present a tree of decision to automatically confirm the mechanism of ionization of supernova remnant candidates. I am new in this community, so please come to see me. We will discuss, and I have a lot of thanks to learn from you. Thank you.
All right. Hi, everyone. I'm Sumit Sarvadikari. I'm a postdoc at Michigan State, and I'm representing Laura Chamyuk's group here. We're doing a supernova remnant survey with very deep radio images in M31. We're covering most of the northern disk. We're already down to something like 10 microjansky, and we have more data to reduce and more observations coming up. The novel aspect of this work is that we're using a source extraction algorithm to pick supernova remnants instead of picking them by eye, and we're testing this in the Magellanic Clouds. This is very important if you want to quantify selection effects in supernova remnant surveys, which is something that came up yesterday during Jeremiah's talk. So that's going on in both of these galaxies, and hopefully, who knows, we're going to find a lot of new remnants that were missed in previous surveys. So poster 7.9. Thank you.
Well, thank you to all the presenters from this afternoon session. Unless there's some burning announcements from the organizers, which is apparently not the case, have a pleasant evening.